Man, it's good to be with you guys. Thank you. And we're working our way through Acts, I believe. So we've got to Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. Fantastic, which we've had so ably demonstrated for us today by the children. That was fantastic, Mark and Annie, wherever you are. You're still here. Really wonderful. Thank you. Hallelujah. So I just felt I should say that as I got up here, you know, we worship a God of hope. I wasn't going to say it, but it just felt I should say it. We worship a God of hope. And there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. There's no such thing as a hopeless cause when you worship a God of hope. When you know the King of the universe, the guy who sits enthroned above everything, the guy who spoke it into being, it may have taken billions of years, it may have taken a few days, but you know, the guy who spoke it into being, when you know that he is a God of hope, and that he's with you, and that he's for you, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. I just feel there are a few hearts here this morning really to receive that. God wants to impart some fresh hope to us this morning. For breakthrough. Hope for situations to change. For hearts to be changed. For relationships to get better. For finances to be improved. For health to be improved. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're so for us, Lord. I just want to worship you. When I think about your goodness, when I think about how much you love us, I can't help but thanking you and worshipping you. And I thank you that you care enough just to speak that over us again today. We receive it, Lord Jesus. By faith, we receive it. We say yes to your hope invading our hearts again right now. We dare to hope again today, Lord Jesus. When we're looking at situations we think might be hopeless in the natural, we can see no hope, we can see no way out. We say, our God makes a way where there is no way. And we receive hope from you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, I was with Simon this week, actually. We went to Wexham Park to visit a guy in the psychiatric ward. And that can be a pretty hopeless place. I don't know if you've ever been to that ward. The psychiatric wards can seem pretty hopeless places. And what hope is there for someone in those places? And we visited him last week, and we saw hope come to him. And his parents sent a text saying how much better he felt after one brief visit, just an hour. But we went again this week, and there was no hope. The hope had ebbed in his life. The hope had ebbed. And he was just saying it would be better for him to go away and just be taken. He wants to die. Do you know, we spent an hour and a half with him this week, and you literally saw hope return to his face. You know, we prophesy hope into people's lives, don't we? We carry hope, guys. I don't know if you know that. We carry hope because we carry the Holy Spirit. We carry Jesus in us. He is the God of hope. And that's our ministry, one of our ministries to the world. To bring hope to the hopeless. Hope. We left him with a smile on his face. Thank you, Jesus. And we keep prophesying that he's going to walk out of there, that he's on the road to recovery. Yeah. Come on, Lord. Strengthen him today, Lord Jesus. Strengthen him today. Let him know your love, Lord Jesus. There's no such thing as a hopeless situation. There are no hopeless people when you're around. Amen. Amen. But that's not really what I'm supposed to be speaking about, and I've got to be quick. So, the day of Pentecost is an amazing day. It's a day we celebrate a lot in this church. We're familiar with it, aren't we? Really, this church was birthed by a similar event, wasn't it? It was birthed by our own day of Pentecost. Yeah? River Church, you know, for those who don't know, actually we began probably 37, 38 years ago, 40 years ago now. 75. See, thank you, Scott. 75, so that's 37 years ago. And we began because the Holy Spirit came upon a youth group at an Anglican church. A mini day of Pentecost. And once you have a day of Pentecost, all things are changed. The church could never be the same. This church was born because of that. Nice subtle message. Thank you. Yes, thank you for that. The church was born. Subtly, because that's my strong suit. And born of the Spirit. You know, and many of you know that I went to Nepal with my family for a few years ago, and it's funny really, but I never would have expected this, but I actually got called the Holy Spirit man. People used to invite me to come and speak in their region because they knew I taught on the Holy Spirit in a way which they found acceptable, and it was powerful, and they heard of the fruit of it in other people's churches. So they used to come and invite me and say, will you come and speak to us? Even the Methodist church asked me to speak at their national convention and say, will you come and speak? I'm thinking, this is a joke. The Methodists were born out of their own Pentecost. Their own outpouring of the Spirit. It's a joke. But the Holy Spirit always comes. You know, we live in the age when the Holy Spirit is poured out freely. But the first time it happened was here in Acts chapter 2. I wish I had time to read it this morning, but we don't have time to read it. We had it before. Acts chapter 2. They gather together, the disciples, praying. About the same number as we have in this room, actually. That's what Jesus left behind after his years of ministry. The kind of number. They were together praying. And they were scared. They were hiding. And yet something amazing happened. As they were gathered like this, one day, what they did every day, something suddenly changed. And it describes it as the mighty wind. Thanks, Mark. Those verses will never be the same for me ever again. It describes it like a mighty wind. Tongues of fire. These are things that are strange to our ears. They're trying to convey something which is not easy to convey. Something happened which is difficult to describe. The best they could do was say it was like tongues of fire coming on us. We went out and we prophesied in the name of the Lord. And we proclaimed his glories to the peoples. And we spoke in the language that they could all understand. The Lord was with us in a mighty kind of way. And you can read it in one way and get quite religious about it. Just got to pray more. If we pray enough, the Spirit will come upon me. And I will be a mighty man of God. And I will suddenly have no choice but to speak out in a strange tongue. And I will proclaim the glory of God. And then people better watch out. But actually, if we're honest, we all think a bit like that. And that's a lie. That's a lie. The truth is already the Spirit is poured out. The truth is already he's freely available. The truth is already, if you follow Jesus, you're already filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. All that remains is you should stand up like Peter and declare. And then you find out that God is with you. You don't find out before you stand up. We find out as we stand up. Peter never found out he could walk on water until he put his foot out of the boat. It's the way faith works. It's a strange thing. But you know, this is far from a religious experience, let me tell you. It was promised by the Father. Yes, 800 years before Christ, it was promised, nearly 3,000 years ago, by the prophet Joel. And Peter makes mention of that in this passage. He said, this is what was promised by the Father, by the prophet Joel. Jesus was crucified, risen to heaven, poured out what you now see and hear, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where Joel said, the Spirit will be poured out in the last days on all flesh. Men and women, young and old, we will all prophesy. We were all dream dreams. We would all be mighty in the Spirit. And it was promised by Jesus. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Wait, he said. You've seen me. You've seen me alive. You know that death is not the final end. You know death has no victory over you now. You're not scared anymore of dying because actually you know that I'm going to raise you. That's fantastic news. As long as you're scared of death, you see, that the enemy has a hold over us. He just has to threaten us with death and we'll stop doing what we do. It's simple. But when there's no fear of death, all of a sudden there's no control, there's no limit. And so Jesus said, wait until you receive power from on high. And then you'll be my witnesses, and then you will go out and proclaim. So they're waiting, and it comes upon them. And how do we know it wasn't a religious experience? What is a key verse? Well, there are a few key verses in this chapter. Number one is verse 4, where it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Because this is the age of the Spirit being poured out on all flesh. Not some, but all of us. We all qualify. There are no disqualifications for being filled with the Spirit. We can't be too bad. We can't be too unworthy. No, there's no difference between us all. We are all qualified. The Bible says that God gives his Holy Spirit to all who ask. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's good news, isn't it? I get excited by that. That's good news. All who ask will receive the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. But then we get down to verse 13. See, many people were amazed at this sight. They were saying, wow, these men are Galileans. Galileans. Galileo, Galileo. These men are from somewhere backwaterish. They're country bumpkins. No man of learning goes to that place. I was going to say something insulting about maybe some other place, but there could be someone from there. I'll say Cox Green. No man of learning comes from Cox Green. I live there, so you know, I can say. How is it that these people are speaking in the languages that we know and understand, that are native languages, from all over the known world? No one from Phrygia or from these other places, never Libya or Cyrene, Pamphylia, they've never been to Galilee, probably never heard of it. They only came to Jerusalem because it was the centre of the Jewish faith. And yet here they were, men from that country bumpkins, ordinary kind of yokel types, speaking foreign languages. Just, you know, like a whole bunch of guys from Essex turning up, suddenly speaking fluently in 56 different languages. Stop thinking the whole. Good. I knew I'd upset someone. But we get to this, so we get to verse 13, while some were amazed, others were mocking and say they are full of sweet wine. They are full of glucose, but it's like a similar word. It's full of sweet wine. Full of new wine. And this stuff, this new wine, this sweet syrupy fermented drink was the most intoxicating liquor that they had and knew of. So, people were staggering around under the power of the Holy Spirit. They were behaving outrageously. Ah, oh, this is good! And they were declaring how great God is. They were saying, God, you're amazing! In lots of different languages. God is incredible. He's so good. Look what he's pouring out. He loves you. In your own language. Oh! And these guys were going, look at him, look at them, they're drunk. Sniggering, like you do when the drunks, I've been a drunk in the high street. Anybody been a drunk in the high street? Just me. I've been a drunk in the high street.
Not recently. Not recently.
Well, you know, not in alcohol. But you know, it was outrageous. These people were saying they were drunk. And it was only the third hour of the day, not 3 o'clock in the morning, the third hour of the day, only 9 o'clock in the morning. And these people were sniggering at them, these grown men, these grown country bumpkins, drunk at that time of day. They'd had a party. Hallelujah. See, that liquor was intoxicating. If you drank it, it had an effect on you. People could see it. The same was true of the Holy Spirit. He's not supposed to be invisible. We are supposed to model the Holy Spirit. People see him in us. We're the body of our Lord. You see, that drunkenness on the day of Pentecost was like an expression of joy. When people get drunk, they get drunk to have a good time. Anybody else done that in the past? Am I the only one? No, come on, I want you to be real. Look, I've done it. I used to get drunk regularly at university on alcohol. In fact, one of my best friends, Mick Francis, over now in Marlow, he refused to invite me to his 21st birthday party when he first met me. He's 2 years older than me. I was 19, he was 21. And he refused to invite me because he thought I was a drunk. I was. I used to get drunk 2 or 3 times a week. And sing strange Scottish songs with all of my might. Staggering back home from the bar late at night. That was a poem he wrote for me at my wedding day. But, you know, that was true. But I did it because I was so pent up. So full of... I was oppressed. I felt like I was squeezed into a tiny little space. I was so shy. I could not speak to anybody. And the only way I could overcome my shyness, the only way I could get out and actually begin to start to communicate and have a laugh with people was to get a little bit tipsy first. So I'd lose some inhibitions. It wasn't a good choice, let me tell you, because I also ended up doing things I was embarrassed about. Things I was ashamed of. But it did get me out of my shell. And able to do things that I wouldn't otherwise do. That's what drunkenness does. And that's what was released on the day of Pentecost. That kind of drunkenness. Enabling to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do. Glory to God. People are looking worried now. You know, but that's not a one-off, guys. Okay? That Pentecost wasn't a one-off. We just talked about many other times. But neither was it a one-off in Jesus' ministry when he was alive. When he revealed his glory, when he showed or he manifested his glory at first, where did he do that? A little wedding in a town called Cana, a village. And what did he do? He made 150 gallons of fermented drink. They'd already run out of wine. And the toastmaster, the guy tested the wine, said, wow, you saved the best wine till last. We're going to have a real party now. But he came to release joy to us. He came to give us life in all its fullness. Not to make us religious bigots. Law-abiding do-gooders. He came to give us joy. Abundant, overflowing joy. Like drunkenness. The kind of joy that releases us from the norms. Releases us from peer pressure. It releases us from doing what others expect us to do. It releases us. It's freeing. I knelt down and proposed to a girl in broad daylight on the high street when I was drunk once. That was a joke, obviously. But I wouldn't do that if I was sober. And those of you who need to know that I've not touched a drink since I became a Christian. Not touched a drink, not got drunk since I became a Christian. But I want to get over a point here. Jesus came to release joy. Yeah. Abundant joy, which means we are free, not constrained by our smallness, by the world, the things the world will try and crush us into, a small space. Yeah. We can be big. We can stand up. We can do what we feel we ought to do, who we want to be. We can become all that we dream about being in Christ. God, someone get excited. You see, and this is the real thing, right? When Toronto broke out in 1994, I had a real big problem with drunkenness in meetings. People rolling around on the floor laughing. I said, what's all that about, Lord? That's not happening to me. Where's the fruit of that then? I was one of those wagging tongues or fingers, you know, in a quiet kind of way. You know, I stood back from it and thought, really? Is that the Holy Spirit? Yeah. I'm ashamed I had those thoughts now. Let me tell you, I'm ashamed. Because God loves to bring overwhelming joy to people. Drunken kind of joy. Yeah. I'd love it if every week we were rolling around on the floor in here and people came in and started laughing at us. Because laughter is the best medicine. It says that in Proverbs, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. A happy heart brings this health to a man's whole bones. Yeah? They have therapy now, don't they? 20 minutes of laughter a week or day or something. You just go, ha, 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 oh, 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 ha, 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 for 20 minutes and you feel better. Come on! They do that with no reason, apart from because they want to feel better. They like the fruit, but they don't know where the roots are. We have the roots! Come on! We do! We have the fruit, we have the roots, our roots are, we're like trees planted by a stream. Yeah. Oh, it's tapped into joy. Yeah. And I love this, you see, guys. Remember that pop song that was out a while ago? Long time ago, I'm showing my age now. Kiss me with your mouth. Your love is better than wine. No, anybody remember that? No, oh, I can't sing it. No, I've known this tune in about 6 million. No, okay, I can't remember who sang it. But the thing is, you know where they got the lyric from? Anybody tell me? Sarah Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Yeah. The beloved. The bride is talking about her beloved. Saying, kiss me with your mouth. For your love is better than wine. Your love is more intoxicating than that fermented drink. Come on. It brings me more joy. Because yeah. It says in Proverbs that wine was given for the joy of the heart, to make man's heart merry, doesn't it? Yeah. But your love is better than wine. Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's intoxicating. Really. If you've never really been intoxicated, I don't recommend you drink alcohol, but I do recommend you really, really meditate on how much God loves you. Yeah. And yeah, this is so difficult now because this is a word which is easy to say, but so hard to receive. And you know, I talk about love a lot, as you know. You guys can kind of switch off when I talk about love. No, you don't. You listen intently. But I talk about love a lot, okay? And I'm amazed that people that have listened for years and years and years, they come to me after many years sometimes and they say, I've got it. Yeah. I've just got it! And it's turned everything upside down for me. God loves me! Woohoo! And they become stupid. God, Jesus. I love stupid people. Yeah, they become stupid. All I'm going to talk about is love. They don't want to talk about anything else. Because it means so much. It's turned everything on its head. All you need is love. And they get it. And it becomes a dramatic revelation to their hearts. It sets them free. Some people say it's like being born again. But it's a powerful thing. Your love is better than wine. Being filled with the Holy Spirit helps us to become intoxicated by the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's my testimony. I told you, I used to regularly get drunk. Now I only get drunk on one thing. The Holy Spirit. And I used to be embarrassed about drunkenness in meetings. I used to get embarrassed about people laughing outrageously. Now I just love it. I absolutely just love it. Because I know where they're coming from. They're coming from a place where they're so overwhelmed, so overawed, so all-consumed by their Saviour, who actually loves them, despite all the wrinkles and all the warts and all the things that go on in us. He loves us. And they've got it. And it makes them laugh. Really?
Yeah.
It makes them laugh. And when you live under that, everything seems better. Somehow, the fruit is clear. The fruit is very clear in people. I like to be around people that laugh a lot. I don't know about you. I'd rather be around people that laugh a lot than people that moan a lot.
Yeah.
The two don't often wear the same hat, you know? They don't live in the same house. You normally get somebody moans a lot or somebody laughs a lot. You don't normally get the both the same. Oh, Jesus. And it says, you know, in Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What's your strength today? What's my strength today? What am I relying on? Is it my job? My position? My title? My bank balance? My home? My family? All good things. My talents, my abilities, my intellect. What is my strength? If we number those things as our strength, they will let us down at some point. They're not the rock. But if we number the joy of the Lord as our rock, as our strength, you know, there's no end to that. That's why it says, those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Oh, Lord Jesus. And that joy is like extreme, exuberant joy. Agaliasis, it's the Greek word, agaliasis. And there are so many ways to receive the Spirit, guys. As I said, number one is just to ask. Jesus says, he promises, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Other ways is to have a quiet time, a time where we just meditate on the goodness of God. You know, if you have a wrong picture of God, you won't want to meditate on him. If you have a picture of a harsh God, a distant God, we won't want to meditate. But if we know that he's love, that he's for us, that he's full of hope, that he wants to bless us, he wants to work with us to create possible things out of impossible things, he wants to bring breakthrough to us, it's a great place to dwell. It's a fantastic place to be in his presence. It's a source of great strength. Another way, if you've never received the Spirit, is ask someone who you know is filled with the Spirit to lay hands on you and pray for you. That's the way he was given commonly in the book of Acts. And try soaking in his presence.
Excuse me a second. I'm just going to get out a little
I've got a sponge here, or two. If I throw this at you, nothing much happens, does it? Thanks, Dave. Thank you. I need a volunteer now. We just got to soak. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. We all know what that means. That means dunking.
Oh, glory.
Simon Tempest, do you need the glory? He's ducking. He's ducking. Who needs the glory? If I throw it at you, mate, you'll get everybody wet. Good idea. Oh dear. What's happened? You see, when we become Christians, we're like that sponge. Often we're just gushing, gushing, gushing life. And then after a time, we can dry up. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-off thing. Keep on being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Keep on being plunged into this bucket. Ah, oh, who wants the glory now? Jesus. You see, I don't want to be like a dry sponge. There's only one way to be a wet sponge. For the Jesus said, you know, regarding the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7, that out of your stomach life-giving waters will flow, out of our bellies. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Life-giving waters flow from our bellies, he said. And he said, gave a little explanation for those who probably thought, what's he talking about, life-giving waters? Someone, the person who wrote it down said, in brackets, he was talking about the Holy Spirit, stupid. He said that for me, for my benefit, 2,000 years later. And whom has not been given. Because the Holy Spirit leaks out of us, brings life. That is our mission on this earth. The church was born on the day of Pentecost, we say. And there's no shortcuts. We need to soak. We need to soak. If we do nothing else apart from soak in the goodness of God for 10 minutes a day, that's the best thing we can ever do in our lives, let me tell you. The single most important thing we can do with our lives. Forget everything else that you do right now. Think about your life right now. All the things that you do, all the responsibilities you have, all the difficult things, all the time pressures, all the kids, all the work responsibilities, all the pressures to visit family and go away and look after things. Can you make 10 minutes? Can we make 10 minutes to soak? It's the most important 10 minutes of the day. It's much better than laughter therapy. Because we come out like that, dripping with life. Dripping with life. And that's God's heart for us. That's Jesus' heart, that we would overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happens is, you see, there's only one way or two ways a sponge can get wet. One, it gets dipped. It gets baptized. Another way, oh dear, that's not me, by the way, for the tape. But that's if another sponge soaks and then leaks all over it. I hope you leak a lot. Yeah, because we need to leak on one another. But not just on us in the church, because we can get soaked whenever we like. And if we don't, what a travesty when we have the opportunity to be filled with the life of God every day. What a travesty if we're not. But we can leak wherever we go. Joy, hope, peace, life, healing in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amazing privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's incredible. We are the light of the world. We are the hope of this world. I love that Psalm 46. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of our God. I like to think of that prophetically about this river, River Church, that we make glad the city of God. But it also, obviously, when it was written, it meant there's a river that's flowing from the throne. There's a river that's flowing from heaven that makes the city of God glad. the holy dwelling places of the Most High. We sing about it, don't we? We sing about rivers, mighty rivers flowing, grace and love like mighty rivers. Grace and love like mighty rivers flowing. Into our hearts. We are the dwelling places of the Most High. We are the city of God. That's the picture in Revelation is that. We are the city of God. We are the place that God makes glad by his Spirit. Joy. Joy, 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 joy. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, just one thing, just on the back of that, another practical thing. People recognise that joy is not a difficult word to spell. It's J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. It's a very practical thing, guys, but it's very simple, but it's hard to do. If we put Jesus first, put others, think of others, it says in Philippians chapter 2, more important than yourself, in humility. And then think, but don't forget yourself. Care for yourself and love yourself too. Love others like you love yourself. But Jesus, other yourself. Yeah. That is the priority. Brings joy. Brings joy. As does a thankful heart. You know, I have a friend who used to have the glad game. If they were feeling depressed at all or feeling low, they would play the glad game. And to play the glad game is really easy. Okay, all you've got to do is start listing all the things you're glad about. Oh, I'm glad it's sunny today. I'm glad that my daughter passed her exams. I'm really glad I have a lovely home. I'm glad I married the most wonderful woman on the face of the planet. I'm glad I have such beautiful children. And all of a sudden, that joy starts to come. But anyway, just a couple of practical things. And this joy, this drunkenness, this overflowing life does lead to practical outworkings. It's not just about lying around giggling all the time. Oh, that we could. I tell you, I was at a leadership team meeting on Friday and I laughed so much. I actually ate. I haven't laughed so much for years. Slapping my thighs and everything. But it's good, you know. It makes you feel great. But I wouldn't want to do it all the time. And there are really practical things outworked. In this chapter 2 of Acts, we see them. Go down to verse 43 and it says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe and many signs and wonders were taking place through the apostles. See, gazing on the face of Christ, looking on the face of Christ, being filled with the Spirit, leads to living like heaven is near. You spend enough time in the presence of the God who says, I can do impossible things, you start to believe it. You spend enough time listening to someone say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Looking into your heart and saying, I love you with all my heart. You are the apple of my eye. And you start to believe it. You start to get a bit dangerous. And these apostles have been spending time with Jesus, hearing him say those things, those words of affirmation. And they started to live dangerously. Perform signs and wonders. But it didn't stop with them. We read about it in the next few chapters. We'll cover it in the coming weeks. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Doing great signs. Defending Jesus powerfully. Philip, the evangelist, full of the Holy Spirit. Whisked off to places, but in the Spirit. Translated. Converting eunuchs on the way back to Ethiopia. And his daughters all prophesying. You see, the Holy Spirit was being poured out on all flesh. And as all flesh meditated on the love of God by the Spirit, they started walking in the supernatural. And we're doing that, church. When I look around, I'm excited by what's happening in people. Hal's not here this morning, but Rainer is. Hal and Rainer, I love what you do amongst the Asian communities. Bringing freedom, bringing joy. You've really stepped out. And I want to honour you publicly for doing that. For the sacrifices you've made. For the love you show those people, for the time you give up, for the things that I know you've laid down in order to chase that ministry. And God is with you. God is with you. Bless you. Bless your work. May you continue to find favour with him and with men. Hallelujah. I love working with Kerry on the healing on the streets. You know, from the very first day we went out, I saw a special anointing on Kerry in terms of laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed. And Kerry has an amazing gift on the street. If you haven't been out with her, I recommend you go. She has a special anointing, and she gets into more conversations than anybody else I know, and prays for more people than anybody else I know. And she's growing in that gift of healing, which is fantastic. We're all growing in this season, and I'm glad that you're leading us, Kerry, in this congregation.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, someone else is happy about that. So, yeah. I could talk about many people, but I haven't got time. But then it also leads on to another thing. Look at verse 45. It says, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. It didn't stop at living like heaven was near. It also meant they started loving one another more really, more practically than ever before. They probably loved each other before a little bit, but now they were demonstrating that love a whole lot more. Another fact about working, being filled with the Spirit. Generosity is another fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I love it, guys, when I look around this church and I see the way we care for one another. I love it when a newborn baby comes along, that family gets meals provided out of nowhere all of a sudden. Not out of nowhere, because people sacrifice time and money to prepare meals and deliver them. When people are sick, people gather around and pray for them and deliver meals to family. I love it when that happens. I love it. I love it when you have your open Sundays and invite anybody and everybody into lunch. It's such a fantastic expression of love for one another. And we need more. We need more. And we need to be generous. You know, they learned very quickly when the church was born that actually it does take sacrifice, financial sacrifice as well as time and energy and other things, if we're going to see the kingdom grow. And we've not been very good at talking about that in our culture, but it's true. It's very, very true. We need more resources to see the kingdom come. Let's not pretend we want revival. Let's not pretend, actually, that we want to see God's kingdom break out in our town if we're not prepared to pay for it. And I don't mean to lay that on you as a heavy thing, but I just mean as a reality check. Because what happens with our money is a demonstration of how much we want something. You know, I know there are a couple of needs in this congregation. We desperately would like more money for. We set aside money in the budget this year to pay 2 days a week for a youth worker. But we'd really like to employ someone full time so that they could do work with our older teenagers. Because we lose too many. We want them to love our older teenagers, to spend time with them, to befriend them, to really get to know them. But also for them to work out in places like Larchwood in the community. It's a very real need. So we set aside about 8,500, I think, in this year's budget, but we didn't really do another 12,000 to 15,000 to make that happen. I'll just leave that with you. You know, I just know it will make a difference to the kingdom. Another thing is, you know, you saw the projector. Most of our meetings are during the day, actually. And our projector doesn't work very well in the daytime, unfortunately. Last week, Kerry, I was embarrassed for Kerry because she was trying to show some wonderful slides that she spent a lot of time preparing, but you could hardly see them because it was a bit bright morning. And it was a waste. So it would be great to have a brighter projector. Just a few things. But I know, see, little things, but they make a difference in the kingdom in the end of the day. And, you know, you've heard us as a leadership say we need to see an increase in giving this year. And we talked about 10-10. We talked about, you know, 10-10. If you aren't giving at all, then please would you consider giving 10%? That's not a rule of your income. That's not a rule, but it's something we believe that is a good thing to do. And we know, my personal testimony is that God, you can't outgive God. I've given 10% of my income since the day I got saved. The pastor handed me a standing order. And I've never regretted it, because God has given me more back. That's my testimony. More, and blessed me more. So if you want to test God, it says in Malachi, test me in this, and see if I don't pour out so much blessing upon you, it can't be contained. And if you're already giving 10%, thank you so much. You know, it's really good. But actually, would you consider increasing by 10% this year? So we can do some of these things, so we can implement some of the dreams that we have. Because it does cost money at the end of the day. And I promise you, I will do my best. We will do our best as a church to use the money wisely. But we do need it. Anyway, I don't normally talk like that, but I thought I would this morning since it was in this passage. Jesus. And you know, guys, can I have Scott? Can I have you back up, please? Where is Scott? New minister up to us. Thank you, guys. You see, I know that as I've been speaking this morning, the Spirit would have been talking to you because that's the kind of God he is. I know that. There are things going around in your head and your heart right now. But it's not good to just leave those things floating around. And actually, oftentimes we'll have ministry at the end of meetings, and it's so that actually we can do something prophetic. Because often, the things, the fuzzy feelings and thoughts that we get, and good intentions that we get in a meeting, or which God's speaking to us, need to be earthed in a prophetic action. I do believe, for instance, that the Israelites would have died in Egypt if Moses hadn't held out his staff over the Red Sea. Because his faith, his believing, had to be combined with an action. And this morning, the Lord wants us to combine the things that he's been saying to us with an action. And when we make that action, it might be putting our hands up, it might be standing up, it might be speaking to someone, praying to someone, whatever that action might be, when we do it, actually, the Lord meets us in it, and it's a step of faith, and does the things that we long him to do. So, you know, if you've never received the Spirit before this morning, then today's the day. If you've never received the Spirit of joy and peace and life, today's the day. If you're not sure, today's the day. You could be sure today. There'll be a ministry team up here in a minute. I'll be part of it. We can pray for you. And you will receive the Holy Spirit because Jesus promises he never lets anybody down. If you have been filled with the Spirit, but you know, as that sponge ran dry, you felt the Holy Spirit saying to you, I feel a bit like that sponge running dry. I need a fresh baptism today. I need a fresh infilling of God's power, God's life, God's joy in me today. Then also, let's find ministry. In this room, if the ministry team gets too busy, then that's fine, we can pray with each other. But let's make sure we pray with someone today and be filled. Allow a wet sponge to leak on you. I'm sorry if that sounds a bit inappropriate, but that is what the Spirit wants to do. He wants to be poured out on us again today. And if you're looking, you know you're full and you're overflowing with water. You just need opportunities. You just need opportunities to leak, to let the water that's flowing through you impact the lives of those around you. Then we can pray with you. Bring your marbles up to the front. I hope you've got your marbles. You're praying for people, your folk, friends, family. If you haven't got a marble, go and pick one up from the desk at the back as a constant reminder. Carry it around as a constant reminder for those that we're praying for. Our neighbours, our friends, carrying around. And whenever I touch it in my pocket, it causes me to pray, to lift them up. And I know that out of that, revival comes. When I pray, because my prayers are powerful. Your prayers are powerful. When we pray for those that don't know the love of God, something's going to happen. We're going to get an opportunity to demonstrate that love. We just need to leak more. To be filled up and leaking. And if you'd like more opportunities to live like heaven is near, then we'd like to pray with you too. Can the ministry team come up, please? And if God has spoken to you about generosity, and you've been meaning to review your giving, or start giving, then why not find the pledge, find the basket and put in the pledge. Write something down on a bit of paper saying what you're going to pledge. Make it a prophetic act now. Don't leave it as a good intention, because it will disappear. Prophetic act needs to happen to release kingdom of heaven. So, Lord Jesus, pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the river that flows from your throne. We thank you, Lord, that grace and love flow like mighty rivers. You know, I was going to play a song by Whitney Houston on her Bodyguard album this morning, but then I heard we were unplugged. I heard we were unplugged, and I thought I'd sing it, but I thought that might not be a blessing. But it's one I sing over all my kids. And it goes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, this I know, guys, for the Bible tells me so. We can experience that love right now. Right now. Let's bask in this love right now. Let's make a choice right now. Jesus, thank you for your love that knows no end. For your ferocious love, furious love, we thank you. We say yes to that love this morning. Help me to soak, Lord God, in that love. To lay in that river. The most important thing I can do with my day. Help me to lay in that place of soaking. To know that your love is better than wine, more intoxicating than for men to drink. I want to be intoxicated, Lord Jesus, by your love. And I say yes to doing things that I'd otherwise be embarrassed about just because I know your love. Oh, Lord Jesus, send now your spirit again. Right now, send now your spirit, Lord Jesus. And if you want to respond to one of those four things, start by standing. Start by standing. Start by standing. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's coming right now. The Holy Spirit is coming right now to minister streams of life to you, streams of hope to you, streams of joy to you, tears of joy, a life of power, of love, of generosity. Oh Jesus, keep us under the work and 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 the work. Oh Lord Jesus, let your love be poured out on these people. Let them soak today, Lord Jesus. Let them experience your love afresh. Got a picture of you all staggering drunk. The Spirit is coming to overwhelm you. Thank you Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you Jesus. So if you'd like ministry, then please come out to the front and we'll pray with you. If you want to pray with someone else, if a friend of yours is standing near you, feel free to pray with them. Minister to them, lean on them. Oh Jesus, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Help us all, Lord Jesus, to find those spaces. Take me to the river. Don't worry, be happy. Take me to the river. Where the river flows, there will be life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done this morning. Thank you for the joy you're bringing. life brings.